harming U.S. companies that manufacture their products in Mexico. I'm thinking in particular of major car manufacturers like Ford and GM. He also predicted that Americans will start seeing higher prices for fruits and vegetables.
The tariffs are 25% against goods from Canada and Mexico, 10% against products from China. Top FBI officials have been given an ultimatum. CBS's Christopher Cruz has details.
FBI officials nationwide have been told to retire or resign by Monday, or they'll be fired. Among the officials affected are those at the executive assistant director level at FBI headquarters in Washington. They manage the Bureau's criminal, national security, and cyber investigations. Numerous heads of FBI field offices across the country have also been given notice.
The shakeup targets officials involved in the investigation of Donald Trump after the January 6th riot at the Capitol. A medical transport jet has crashed in a Philadelphia neighborhood. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro praised the quick action of first responders.
What you're seeing here is a unified response to an awful aviation disaster.
CBS's Jennifer Kuiper has more details about the crash.
A fireball engulfed several vehicles and spread to nearby homes and buildings. The air ambulance, a Learjet 55, was traveling from Philadelphia to Springfield, Missouri, with six people on board, including a pediatric patient.
The plane crash comes 2 days after the mid-air collision between an American Airlines jet and a Black Hawk helicopter near Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. President Trump cited, without evidence, diversity hiring practices. Gary O'Hara's son was Staff Sergeant Ryan O'Hara, the crew chief of the Black Hawk. He spoke with CBS's Mark Strassman.
Does that make this moment harder?
Yeah. It definitely does. I think for any parent, I know Ryan respected the people that he flew with and trusted them with his life. You have to earn your spot to be put into that helicopter. They don't just give it to you. You earn it.
The collision killed 67 people. Hamas has freed three Israeli hostages, including the first American, along with Israelis Ofer Calderon and Yarden Bibas. CBS's Haley Ott reports from Tel Aviv.
Yarden Bibas has become a symbol around the world for the movement to bring the hostages home because, in addition to him, his wife and two small children were abducted on October 7th. Their status is currently unknown.
In exchange for the Israeli hostages, Israel released 183 Palestinians. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Pause all activities related to the distribution of federal financial assistance. Officials stress it's meant for programs to show their priorities align with the new administration and that direct aid from things like Social Security and SNAP won't be disrupted. But Richard Fiesta with the Alliance for Retired Americans notes the psychological effect in this part of the U.S.
It would be much more important to have these programs on time and ready to go rather than this chaos we're seeing.
A judge on Tuesday temporarily blocked the pause from taking effect, but that order only lasts until Monday. Democrats and even some Republicans in Congress took issue with the administration's actions amid questions about legal authority. And those criticizing the move say as the situation plays out, even a temporary pause in funding could be very harmful to services like Head Start and suicide prevention hotlines. Fiesta worries some programs could look very different after agencies are reviewed by White House budget leaders.
We could see much more strain on the healthcare system in general, on hospitals. You could see a ripple effect because of inability to get care.
He points to Medicaid playing a big role in funding rural health care networks, including nursing home costs. Policy experts say drastic cuts, no matter how they're carried out, could put more pressure on state budgets. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, snow is likely. It'll be breezy as well, highs in the low 30s. Tonight, snow or freezing rain, a low around 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high around 44. On Monday, chance of snow, 22. For Tuesday, chance of snow and a high of 19.
It's 21 right now.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pump day!
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer, and riding the camel a bit late into the week. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, TGIF, January 24th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here as we end the week. Kind of overcast skies, temperatures are moderating. Get out, enjoy the great natural outdoors all across the state of Wisconsin this weekend. You'll feel better. Take a walk in one of our great state parks. I'm not sure if there's enough snow up north yet to go snowmobiling, but maybe cross-country skiing. And Zommers, for those listening, it is not Wednesday.
It is not Wednesday. Look, you know, I do my best to keep the camel corralled all week, but right. Sometimes he just gets too excited.
He's excited for the weekend. Well, it's good to have you along. And by the way, today's show is unofficially brought to you by Clorox Wipes. There is the crud, the norovirus. People are sick around here, and knock on an empty head here and throw some salt over my shoulder and say an extra prayer at church this weekend. You and I have remained healthy, Zommers. The secret is to get in as late as possible and leave as soon as the show is over.
Pretty much. Hey, we're just trying to stay healthy here.
That's right. Exactly. A big show today coming up at the bottom of the hour. Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion of the Wisconsin Badger football team, spent 3 years in the NFL. And now, of course, from our hometown, my hometown, Richland Center, he's going to be on with us at 12:30, as per usual, every other Friday, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. The draft, of course, coming to Wisconsin and Green Bay in April. He knows all about that. Should be a great time had by all. Then in hour two, it's What's Worse. I can't wait for this one. It involves television commercials, particularly those in Wisconsin. So that's going to be What's Worse. And then at 1:30, our old friend Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be along to give us a humorous look at the week in review. But Zommers, the coach of the Michigan team, Jim Harbaugh, his dad used to say, you know, who's better or who lives better than we do? Nobody. Who's luckier than us? Nobody, because our lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, is back with us within a couple of weeks here. We are so thankful and honored to have her. She is appearing in her official capacity from her office just up the street in the Wisconsin State Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, a pleasure. Happy TGIF Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you, too. I appreciate you having me.
It is always our pleasure. Speaking of the weekends, I know you love Wisconsin in your capacity as lieutenant governor. You get out and travel around. Are there any winter spots that you really enjoy going to, you and your family, around the state of Wisconsin?
So I do some snowshoeing. I have snowshoes, and I go to some of the state parks to be able to do that. So I really, really enjoy that, particularly around the Delafield area, a little bit west of us. Mm-hmm. I like to do that. I do also, I'm an archery instructor, and sometimes I have fun going, I don't shoot at moving things because partially because I, because of skill level, but also, But also,
I bet you're being modest, but go ahead.
So I would get out sometimes in our state parks and do that too. And if there's not too much snow, it's kind of fun to be able to go out and do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we're so blessed, as we said at the top of the show, to have a state where, you know, so many different activities across the state of Wisconsin. We don't have to go far to enjoy all of those. I want to get into a little bit of the Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address earlier this week. Of course, we carried that here on Civic Media in its entirety, along with Republicans' response from Speaker Robin Voss. I thought I've sat through a lot of these. I helped put some of them together back when I worked in the legislature, not directly for the governor, but in the responses and whatnot. It was the longest one, I understand, from Associated Press reporter Scott Bauer. I thought it was one of his better ones. I'm not just saying that because you were here. It was meaty, but what I liked about it was that, to me, as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, it didn't really seem, to me at least, all that controversial. I mean, you know, when the governor declared 2025 the year of the kid, it seems like there should be some common ground there, Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, what I heard, number one, I thought he did a really great job, because what I heard from the governor and his speech is he was talking about things that he really passionately cares about. Mm-hmm. And we know that he's an educator. We know he's worked within education his entire career. He cares about kids. And that is what he was talking about during his State of the State address. And you're right. So many of it should be a bipartisan solutions, because many of the things he was talking about, Wisconsinites want us to be able to do. And whether that's addressing the mental health of our kids, whether that's making sure they're safe at school, making sure our kids aren't hungry. I mean, these are pretty basic things that we know that Wisconsinite wants and want us to be able to work together to move those things forward.
Speaking of the outdoors, a couple of minutes ago, I thought it was a poignant moment and so important that Governor Evers, the first thing he did when he got into talking about gun reforms in this state and mental health, he singled out and he said that Wisconsin has a rich heritage of supporting hunting and trapping and fishing in this state, and he doesn't want anything to change that. I thought that was really the right way to start. And then he got into, you know, talking about things like background checks, red flag laws, which means that people are in danger of harming themselves or others, that they can either turn their weapons in themselves or that they, if necessary, they can be taken away until they get themselves a better mental health state. And then restoring the 40-hour waiting period in Wisconsin to buy a firearm. As someone who owns firearms, I used to do a lot of gun deer hunting. I still go bird hunting, pheasant and turkey. As a sportsman, those don't seem unreasonable to me. And I think that most people that hunt would agree.
And they do. When you ask them, when we survey people across Wisconsin, they do agree with that. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have background checks. You have gun owners that think it's reasonable to have a waiting period. And we know, so I'm a nurse by background. I was an ER nurse for a long time. And, you know, suicide and homicide is something that we know is associated with owning a firearm. And if we have those 48 hours between purchasing and being able to pick up that firearm, we know it reduces suicide rates. We know it reduces homicides. So it's just, those really are common sense solutions.
And I think for you know, people in my former party that represent perhaps more rural areas of the state, look, I can tell you where I'm from, and I know you have roots back in Richland County, there have been, unfortunately, several deaths in the last year, death by suicide. In our rural communities, our ag producers, our farmers are facing extraordinary financial difficulty. And unfortunately, which doesn't get talked about, I know Pam Yonke at Midwest Farm Report has, I know that you and the governor have, but what doesn't get enough airtime is the mental health struggles of our ag community.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's heartbreaking. And we need to be more open about these things. The governor has put in $300 million for mental health services, whether that's for kids within the school system, but a real emphasis on mental health across Wisconsin. And we know that COVID exacerbated some of those issues, whether it was in our school kids or off in some of our more rural communities that were more isolated. And so, again, these are common sense type of things that we can use our dollars for on the state level to be able to provide services that people need.
And what I thought was interesting, like your take on this, is that, look, you know, I don't want to say I get it because I don't, but if our Republican friends on the other side of the aisle don't want to go with what I think are sensible reform laws for firearms, because what we hear a lot is, well, it all comes down to mental health. Well, it turns out the governor's got you covered on that as well, because he wants to put in, you know, $66 million for victims of crime, number one. And then this, as you said, for mental health, and particularly for kids in our public and private schools, it would seem to me that's where you want to go then.
Right. Like either what, right? Like we can do both, right? We can do some common sense legislation relative to firearms. But if you truly believe that it is simply a mental health issue, and it's always more complicated than that, well, then let's put some funding in that. Let's make sure that the kids have the services that they need. Let's make sure that our rural farmers are getting mental health services. I had done a healthcare workforce task force this last year, and one of the things that came up over and over again is that we do not have enough mental health providers. And so being able to put funding into that to provide the services, to get more folks within Wisconsin being able to provide mental health and counseling, that's really, really important for making sure that people can do what they need to do and to take care of their families. We know that if you do not take care of your mental health, all sorts of other things are going to be a struggle within your life, whether that's being able to afford housing, whether that's going to be able to take care of yourself in other ways. Are you taking your blood pressure medication on time? These things we know happen. So if we can address some of these issues relative to mental health, those are going to be able to have absolutely exponential effects in all sorts of other areas. You'll be able to work more hours. There's an economic benefit to taking care of people's mental health. So those are the kind of things that I'm hopeful for as we go into this budget negotiating season, that the Republicans on the other side of the aisle are going to take a very serious look at and be able to make sure that those things are approved in the governor's budget.
About two and a half minutes left before our first break here. I thought perhaps the best line of Governor Evers' speech this week was, quote, "Wisconsinites don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be pragmatic," unquote. I think that sums up. I mean, most Wisconsinites are like, you know, I get it. You know, politicians are going to politic, but geez, at least they should get something done. Just do something, get something done. And when it comes to, you know, prescription drugs and childcare, how many times as we've traveled with this show around the state do we hear from urban Milwaukee to rural Amory, childcare is a huge issue, and also for particularly our seniors, the amount of drugs they pay in prescription drugs, that's life-changing, and the governor is proposing something there.
Absolutely. So there are, you know, trying to reduce costs for folks, whether that's reduce the cost of food by providing free meals within the school system for kids so that they aren't hungry and they can just focus on learning. Reducing the cost of prescription drugs, like you talked about, so reducing the cost of healthcare overall, and then reducing the cost of housing. That's another thing that has come up when I've been across Wisconsin. We know that there's a shortage of housing. We know that there's a shortage of housing that people can't afford. And so that is also part of the governor's proposal, is how do we affect people's pocketbooks?
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is our guest. Stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more to her, with her, about the governor's state of the state, and also a personal side as some of these national issues have landed here in the state of Wisconsin. It's the Town Hall Ball Show for a TGIF Friday, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF edition, Friday, January 24th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion, spent 3 years in the NFL, talking a little bit about the NFL playoffs and also having the draft in a couple, 3 months here. Up in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. And then Peter Rapine is in hour two with a humorous look at the week in review. Right now, we are honored to have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joining us from her office in the state capitol just up the street. Quickly, Governor, before we go back to the serious stuff, are you excited about the draft? Are they going to get you into the draft?
Oh, I would love to. I'm not sure, though. I mean, I'm very, very excited about the draft. I know Green Bay is very excited about the draft. I can't wait to see what is going to happen in Green Bay. I think it's great.
Yeah, and great tourism and great for the economy. And we'll talk more about that as it gets a little bit closer. Back to Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address, which we carried along with Republican response this week here on Civic Media. I want to play a clip. We are now into the end of week one of the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency. It has been eventful, to say the least, and the governor addressed it a little bit in his State of the State. Here's Governor Evers from this week.
Let's agree to be honest about the fact that the story of our state's success today is told in the labor of over 3 million Wisconsinites, including tens of thousands of workers whose only transgression to date was not having the good fortune of being born in this country. Let's agree that we can continue to be a state that enforces our laws when and if they are broken, but still embraces our shared history and all those who have helped write our Wisconsin story, from our native nations to the generations of immigrants who came after. And let's agree that if you work, obey the law, pay taxes, and contribute to our communities and play by the rules just like everyone else, you should have a fair shot at continuing to pursue the American dream.
Governor Tony Evers in the State of the State address this week. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Look, we believe in truthfulness and transparency on this show. There are a lot of reasons I admire and respect you and like you. You grew up attachments to my hometown, Calhoun County, Richland County, in a dairy farm. You're an RN like my aunt. But you and I also share something unique, or not unique, but similar. My two godsons, their mom, Miko Madre, great word. Because there's no word in English, just a singular word to say the parents of my godsons. Where in Spanish, you get to say just comadre, right? But she's from El Salvador originally. So my godsons are half Salvadoran and Latino. You married into a Latino family. I think that any time that we can share personal stories, it breaks down barriers. If you don't mind, if I can ask you to talk a little bit personally about what this issue means to you.
Well, you're right. So I married into a man who grew up in Mexico, and he's a naturalized citizen, and he's more than that, right? So he works in IT. He's a great father to our two kids. He's, you know, works within the community. And I really appreciate that Governor Evers talked about the contributions of immigrants within Wisconsin, because pretty much all of us, and including me, like, my background is Norwegian, German, English. we all came here however many generations ago as immigrants. And those are the kind of things that make Wisconsin special. It makes us a welcoming place to be. And when we have that rhetoric coming out of the federal government, it can be really scary for communities. And I've since go to a minority majority school where it's a dual language program, and they're hearing rumors about what's happening out within the community. Some of them, many of them are not true, but we know communities are scared. And so they don't want to get caught up by just the way that they look. And we want to make sure that Wisconsin is a welcoming place. And again, repeating what Governor Evers says, we are also a nation of laws. And so we want to make sure that people are following those laws, that we have safe communities, but we want to be able to welcome folks.
One of my favorite all-time political cartoons was of two Native Americans on shore watching the Mayflower come into the bay, and one said to the other, what do you think? Do we need an immigration policy? I mean, unless you're, unless you're Native, we've all, to your point, we all come from somewhere.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. It gives you, as a lawmaker, as a Wisconsin leader, I think empathy, compassion, and understanding, and someone who can bridge, because I think so many people in our communities across Wisconsin, maybe you've never had the opportunity to have a person of color or a Latino or whatever be a friend or hang out with you. And so we get looped into these stereotypes, and it doesn't matter what kind of minority you are. Once you know someone, you find out, oh, geez, they're just human, just like you and me.
Right. It's hard to demonize people you know, right? It's hard to demonize people that you know and then you like.
Right.
And so I think if we expand our circle and we understand where people are coming from and why they might be scared within the community, you know, those are the kind of things we need to be having those conversations. What do we want? What is the what are the values that we want to be able to embrace here in Wisconsin?
Left about 2.5 minutes for you. I want to talk a little bit about because you and the governor have been very adamant going around the state of Wisconsin. I know the governor's been to all 72 counties every term he's been in office. You get out there a lot. And I know you've heard about Wisconsinites struggling economically, and you hear that.
Yep. I do. When I go all across the state, I honestly don't care where I'm at. If I am in urban areas, rural areas, on tribal lands, suburban areas, we know that people have some struggles economically, and we shouldn't ignore that, which is why, like I was saying earlier, that's what the governor wants to focus on. Because we know if we focus on our kids, what's good for our kids is good for the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on some of those three areas that people are talking to us about, whether it's the cost of food and making sure that kids don't go hungry, whether it's the cost of healthcare, lowering those prescription costs, or the cost of housing. These are three areas that would have direct impact on people's pocketbooks. And the governor has said multiple times before, he is absolutely willing to give relief on taxes for individuals as long as it's focused not on the wealthiest among us, but on the people who could actually need it.
Yeah. Sarah Rodriguez, our Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, on the side of working people, on the side of just good old Wisconsinites, and a cheerleader for our state. That's what we need more of, Lieutenant Governor. We love it that you do that for us. So thank you. We appreciate your time and appreciate you being here.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Welcome back anytime, Sarah Rodriguez. Stay with us. Brady Ewing is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's promised tariffs against products from Canada, China, and Mexico are going into effect today. CBS's Nancy Cordes with Mexico's reaction.
The president of Mexico said she is hoping that rational discourse prevails and that she can find a way to head this off.
A medical transport jet with six people aboard has crashed into a Philadelphia neighborhood. Mayor Sherelle Parker.
I'm very proud about how our federal, state, and all of our local partners are working hard to deal with this tragedy.
A pediatric patient was among those killed. Hamas has released three Israeli hostages in exchange for 183 Palestinian prisoners.
For the Palestinians, that image of an older man with crutches being held up on the shoulders of people as he came out of the bus will be one which sums up their sense they've achieved some kind of victory with this latest release of prisoners.
Reporter Sebastian Usher, CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Your
more news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks get blown out. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee gave up 70 points in the first half and 45 points in the third quarter as the San Antonio Spurs routed the Bucks 144-118. Damian Lillard had 22 points for the Bucks in the loss.
We just allowed them to be comfortable. We weren't sharp enough. We weren't focused enough from the tip. And they got going. And even though, we got some firepower offensively too, I think when you're on the road, it's harder to sustain that and count on that when you're not getting stops.
Milwaukee is back home tomorrow night to take on Memphis. The Brewers avoided arbitration, signing catcher William Contreras to a one-year deal with a club option for 2026. Contreras will make $6 million this year with a club option for $12 million next season. Milwaukee has now signed all arbitration-eligible players for the upcoming season. Spring training begins later this month. College Hoops number 9 Marquette takes on 25th-ranked UConn tonight at 7 p.m. on National Marquette Day. Number 17 Wisconsin is at Northwestern with a tip time of 1 p.m. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, snow is likely. It'll be breezy as well, highs in the low 30s. Tonight, snow or freezing rain, a low around 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high around 44. On Monday, chance of snow, 22. For Tuesday, chance of snow and a high of 19.
It's 21 right now.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., joins to reflect on the legacy of the birthday boys, Thomas Paine and FDR. Also, will tariffs on Canada and Mexico lower prices for Wisconsinites? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays, 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on a TGI Friday, January 24th, 2025. Zommers on the board. Appreciate all of you from the shores of Lake Superior down to the shores of Lake Michigan, from Green Bay to the Mississippi River and all places in between across the state of Wisconsin and around the world in the Civic Media app on a Friday. And all you folks watching us on the stream, thank you. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, big listening, viewing audience today. Glad I dressed up a little bit. So thanks. And for those that tune in, here's the benefit if you watch us on, and of course you can listen to us for free on the Civic Media app as well, but on the video part of it, the streaming, we have kind of a, you know, a secret show. You can see us while we're off mic getting ready. And sometimes it's fun, and sometimes you're like, why did I do this? But it's usually fun. And one of the people that always make it a lot of fun every other Friday is our great friend, star of stage and screen, the finest Brooklyn has to offer, Mr. Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World. Peter, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm a little cold today. I've been a little cold all week. Probably not as cold as you guys have been.
Well, not as cold as down in New Orleans. So the Milwaukee Bucks were down in New Orleans for an NBA game, and it got canceled because of snow, and they had to fly back to Milwaukee.
Yeah. there's a joke in there about climate change or global warming.
Right,
I didn't quite have it.
There's no, yeah, right? I mean, basically, we're all screwed, but anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Al Gore.
Right. Peter, of course, is the managing editor for EPOM's World, and he comes to us with the week in review every other week. And it's important, Peter, we always like to start out by saying, this is not fiction, and it's not made up either. these are real stories of real, actual, wacky human beings.
I know I say it every week, but we're funny. But I like to think our team is funny, but we're not that funny.
So, you and your team scour the interwebs, the newspapers, the columns, mm-hmm. to bring us the best of human behavior, or the worst.
Yes, we like to do the highs and the lows. I think this week I won't disappoint. I hope
All right.
It doesn't.
Well, let's get right into it, Peter Rapine. First headline of the week.
All right, this one we have some audio to go along with it as well. Mm-hmm. And it's an experience I think most people have felt, but no one has ever actually gotten to actualize like the main character in this video did. So headline reads, flight attendant gets sick of crying babies, starts singing half-assed lullabies to the whole plane.
Headline, flight attendant gets sick of crying babies, starts singing half-assed lullabies to the whole plane. Explain, Peter Rapine.
Well, the short of it is there was a flight. Not really sure where it was going or where it was coming from, but it was filled with babies who needed a nap. And at some point in the flight, one of the attendants clearly was fed up. And so he gets on the mic and he gets, I think it's probably best if Zombie can play the clip and we can hear it.
All right, here we go. A flight attendant who is sick of babies crying on the plane.
Make any noise on the flight. Just go to sleep. Close your eyes, go to sleep. 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99,
like the melody, but knew none of the words and made it up. Right?
What's the over under on how many crying babies were on the flight? 5, 6, 7? Like
I bet you I'm gonna guess because one or two you think okay. I bet the over under is 5.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
I think 3, you probably don't get that annoyed. Yeah. I wonder if you got in trouble. I doubt it. I hope not.
I
wonder if there's like a memo went out like, hey guys, we know you think you're funny, but it's really not that funny. We don't want to go viral on TikTok or stuff like this.
But I think he speaks for a lot of us, particularly those of us who don't have kids. You know, you think, well, you know, Sally or Billy or they're going to get a little cranky, and that's fine when you take off. Mm-hmm. But then I've been on those flights where, and I feel bad for the parent because the parent, you know,
yeah.
But it's like, holy criminy sakes alive! That literally, Peter, that's why I bought noise canceling headphones. I'm serious.
See, I'm one of those guys on the flight that listens to music and just stares at the flight tracker.
Oh,
like I don't
yeah.
watch movies. Maybe I'll read a book. Maybe I'll write a little bit. But I just watch that flight tracker the entire time.
I do too. Kindred spirits. I love to see where we're at. I like that. I like that, the flight tracker.
Especially the ones where you can toggle it like over the map
right.
or the satellite picture or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a geography buff, so that's cool. All right. Oh, that was a fantastic. What a way to start off. Peter Rapine of EPOM's World. Next headline.
All right. So this one's obviously very timely. It's been very cold all over the country, everywhere, basically except San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Headline reads, dude taking a pee in negative 33 degree weather gets his thing stuck to the ground.
We have to clean the, because there are certain things we can't say on the radio. So thank you. I appreciate that. So the headline, as we make it FCC compliant, dude taking a leak in negative 33 degree weather gets his schlong stuck to the ground. Now, I have several questions, but first explain.
Well, it's like the scene in A Christmas Story where the one kid gets his tongue stuck to the pole. except this man is an adult and he's drunk and he's outside at night outside of a club with his pants down and his entire member is frozen to the ground. And you can see, because there's like a group of security guards standing around, like making sure he's okay. And they're trying to lift him up, and they can't. He gets stuck.
But
yes,
I
I'm
going to
put the video
questions.
On the screen so that Todd can see it.
Is he just well endowed, or is he a very short man? I mean, how do you get it stuck to the ground?
He must have fallen over.
Oh, see.
It's the whole fruit basket.
It literally shows it. So the poor guy is out taking a leak, and apparently he passes out, or at least stumbles.
Yeah.
He falls face forward, and his schlong is still out, and it freezes to the ground?
Well, I mean, if it's negative 33 degrees, you don't have that long before something like that happens.
I mean, our meteorologists warn us about this. I mean, exposure, you know, frozenness can happen quickly. We're talking like a legit negative 33, not with wind chill.
No, yeah. A legit negative 33.
Right.
3 degrees.
I mean, the moral of that story is, you know, don't whip it out when temperatures are below zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try to do like some frozen ramen challenge. It's not going to end well.
On behalf of men everywhere, ouch. I mean, really? I mean, how do you unfreeze it? I mean, what do you put down there? Because, I mean, does somebody have a warm washcloth?
I would imagine, yeah, just like a glass of hot water, something.
Or else pee.
What do you do? Offer mouth to mouth? I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you unfreeze it? I don't know. It depends on how good looking the guy is, I guess. I don't know.
That is some quick thinking, Todd.
Oh, Lordy. Okay.
Yeah, where's the Hoctua girl when you need her?
Because it's a public service in that case. It's a public service.
That's what it is.
All right. That was fantastic. All right, Peter Rapine. Again, all of these headlines, this isn't silliness that's made up. This is actual human behavior that the great folks at epalmsworld.com compile for us. All right, next headline.
So this next one we also have audio for. I don't want to say too much about it. I want us to listen to it.
Do you want to give us
the headline? Yeah, I'm going to give you the headline. It's short and sweet and to the point.
All right.
They trained a crow to be British.
They trained a crow to be British. All right, here we go.
I'm all right.
It may be a little hard for some of our listeners to hear, but the bird says, I think I'm all right, but in a British accent.
You all right, love?
Yeah, he's saying, are you all right, love?
Are you all right, love? That I've never heard a British crow or a British bird before.
No.
That's amazing.
No, I wish I had more context for it, but it's kind of the perfect piece to just absorb without knowing. Like, what do you need to know?
Right.
Right. A crow is speaking in a British accent. That's it. That's all I got to say about it.
Right. That's all you need to say. No,
it is beautiful, though. It's I think the British have like funny ways of saying things like, oh, you all right, love. Like it just sounds funny. So to hear a crow say it, you can't really tell the difference. Like that could be a British person if I didn't have the video. I would have no idea.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And again, it shows that no matter where you're from, whether it's kids or birds, apparently, I mean, they mimic what they hear. It's just how think about that, your surroundings, how much it means to a person.
Well, there is another famous bird video of, I think it's a bird of a guy who has Tourette's, or it's a parrot. And the parrot had like learned all these like terrible curse words.
Oh yeah. Cause that's a real thing.
Maybe next week, in 2 weeks I can find it and we can do like a classic roundup.
Birds.
The bird, this animal services come to take the bird away and the bird is just like cussing them out for like 3 minutes straight.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Like, F you, F you, F you,
oh,
F you.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty famous old video that we've had on the site for years. I'll find it and share it with you guys.
The world, the wild and wacky of animals as well as humans. All right, Peter Rapine, next headline.
All right. So we do some service journalism, not a ton, mm-hmm. But this was probably be one of those stories for us. So headline reads, here's what it's like to rent a fat man in Japan.
Here's what it's like to rent a fat man in Japan. Again, several questions. The first line in the story is, it looks like fun. Explain.
So in Japan, there's an app service where you can hire people to put up a bookshelf, or you can hire people to do all sorts of jobs. But on the service, you can also just hire fat men. And there is a weight limit. You have to be over 220 pounds to qualify as one of these rentable fat men. And the video that we have is just made by an Instagram influencer. He's like a travel influencer. Mm. And so he interviews the guy and he asks him, like, what do you mostly get rented for? And surprisingly, not very surprisingly, he gets rented to eat food mostly.
Rented to eat food.
People like to take him out to dinner because he's a big guy.
What's the payoff?
I don't know. I think maybe there's like a fetish thing in there where like people like to watch a bigger man eat, or maybe it's people that want to have company.
I mean, I don't get it. I mean, dude, like if you could eat that entire bowl of spaghetti in one sitting, I will be bricked. I mean, who says that? I mean, I don't get it. You rent as they use the term a fat man, but not to like carry anything or I don't know, just to take him out to eat.
I mean, it sounds like the perfect job.
Well, sure. I mean, if you like to
you
eat,
you don't have to. Yeah. He also said he gets rented sometimes to be a security guard.
Well, that I can see.
And he has been rented for photo shoots where people wanted to take photos of him.
Really?
He didn't specify if they were like sexy or naked photos.
Right.
But yeah, I guess in Japan, it's a thing you can do. You can rent big boys.
Does this have to do with a sumo wrestling?
I do not think so. No.
All right.
The limit here is like the minimum weight is 220 pounds. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the average sumo guy is, but I would imagine they're much
probably
bigger
heavier.
Than that.
Yeah, probably heavier.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay around. Don't go anywhere, folks. Breaking news headlines like these from EPOM's World and Peter Rapine are straight ahead. We'll wrap up the week. Zommers, Rapine, Allball on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across Civic Media you are listening to around the state. Quick check of weather by our great meteorology team and the wonderful and talented Mr. Mike Clemens. Our sports reporter brings you a sports update as well. And then get ready for another 2 hours more of great, fantastic conversation, news, information. Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show will be along from 2 until 4, followed by Dom Selvia, 4 to 6, Mr. Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8, Rick Smith Across America, and then our friend Mr. Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. So keep it tuned right here to Civic Media throughout the day. Right now we're joined, as we are every other Friday, for a week in review, a humorous look at the actual real human behavior of wild and wacky humans, the managing editor of EPOM's World, Mr. Peter Apine, joining us via StreamYard. Always a pleasure, Peter. Next headline, my friend.
Yes, next headline. This one comes to us from a hip-hop artist, a producer who has, I don't want to say fallen out of favor, but maybe he's not as big as he used to be, a man by the name of Rick Ross.
Rick Ross. If right.
If you grew up in the 90s, 2000s, you probably know him. Well, Rick Ross has been in, he's been in Africa filming a new record or producing a new album. And headline reads, Rick Ross is convinced he's being followed by drones that look like birds.
Rick Ross is convinced he's being followed by drones that look like birds. Explain.
So he's filming from like his porch, his veranda in South Africa, and he's filming a bird.
Right.
In the sky. And he's talking like, y'all ain't smart. I know that's a drone. I know y'all are following me. Y'all are watching me like clearly a bird. Because he thinks someone out there is spying on him.
Right.
A governmental body, maybe it's Meek Mill or Puff Daddy, who knows. But Rick Ross is clearly going through it.
he's going through it. And do you think he's doing this for, as they say, content to get people to watch? Or do you think he actually believes that some of these birds are drones?
Well, I'll say if he's doing it for content, it's not very good content. I think he could try harder.
Right.
No, he's probably just like, you know, probably just smoked too much weed or, you know. Sure. Maybe he read too much into that New Jersey news a couple of weeks ago about those drones. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly just like a falcon in the video.
There are no drones that look like birds that we know of anyway.
Well, they are. They do have them in China.
Really?
South Africa is a long way away from China. Yes, yeah. China actually does have like surveillance drones that look like birds that they,
wow,
you know, have surveilling people in cities. So it is
not
a real thing.
All right.
So
I did not know
Mr.
that.
Mr. Ross isn't entirely paranoid, just mostly paranoid.
All right. Next headline, Peter Rapine.
Next headline. So TikTok did not get banned last week. Everyone was talking about TikTok, China. Americans were downloading a new app called Red Note. So this kind of was our way into that story. Americans are worried that China is winning the burger war.
Americans are worried that China is winning the burger war. All right, let's go.
And it's a video of like a Chinese food stand. And in America, when you think about burgers and you think about like burgers that get extras, right? The add-ons, you can really stuff things on it, an egg, bacon, an onion ring, fries, whatever. Americans take their burger technology and we stack it on top. We make our burgers like skyscrapers.
Right.
China has taken a new approach to this. Their burgers aren't getting taller. Their burgers are getting wider.
I'm watching video that you add on this story. It's amazing. Go ahead.
So instead of just like a normal burger that's like maybe too big to actually bite, it's an ingenious idea. Why not just make the burger fatter and wider in the sides? You can still bite it, but right? You get twice as much burger out of it.
And you're right.
Kind of an ingenious idea.
Ingenious is the word here, because to your point, you know, a lot of, you know, pubs now, whatever, you're right. So they want it, you know, a smash burger, then they put an egg on there and a pickle and a half a chicken and a hot dog. And, you know, it's a foot high by the time you get done. And
you can't eat it.
Right, you can't eat it. So what we're seeing here at eatbombsworld.com, I mean, literally these burgers and the buns are like the size of a small dinner plate.
If you've ever been to Cops in Milwaukee, they're even bigger than those.
All right, there you go.
Whoa.
So you're right. I think it is a genius. And here in China, they're putting pineapple on a burger. I've never seen that before.
I've never had that, but I do know that that's a popular thing. I think a better way for China and America to, you know, figure out our disputes with one another is not through like technology or war. I think it probably is best done through burgers. Like, we should have a burger war.
I'll put a Culver's burger up against this any day of the week.
Right?
A butter burger.
Petition the next Olympics. Right? We'll do a burger challenge, a burger off.
It's going to be in L.A. It's going to be in Los Angeles. Craig Culver has got his own plane. We could fly out Culver's burgers and chefs to take these people on in a side deal. I bet you our friend Kelly Call down at Hermosa Beach at the Underground Pub. We'll have it there at the Underground Pub in Hermosa Beach, Culver's versus China for the best burger in the world. We figured it out, Peter.
Yeah. It's low, right? Everyone eats. It's a good right? time.
It's good time, as my former high school or my middle school history teacher, Ken Lewis, likes to say, a good time had by all. Peter, it's always a pleasure. We always have a great time when you're with us. We thank you for your work. All these stories and more can be found at ebombsworld.com. Peter, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great one.
Yep, thank you. Thanks to Peter. Thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Thanks to Brady Ewing, to Aaron Zomers and the board. All of you watching on the stream and across the state of Wisconsin on the airwaves and the Civic Media Record Network, we thank you. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a great weekend. Maggie Dawn is next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about racial justice with Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning from Red Racism Milwaukee. Then we'll talk with internationally renowned actor and Milwaukee native Casey Washington.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over 6 times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I'm Linda Kenyon. President Trump's trade tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and China are kicking in. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says these fees could trigger inflation in the U.S.
If the importing company passes along that fee to the customer, that could raise prices. And this is why a lot of economists are a little unnerved by the idea of widespread tariffs.
The tariffs are 25% against products from Canada and Mexico, 10% against products from China. Top officials at the FBI have been put on notice by the Trump administration. By Monday, they must retire, resign, or be fired. Many of those affected were part of the investigation into the January 6th riot at the Capitol. They include those at the executive assistant director level at the FBI headquarters in Washington. They manage the Bureau's criminal, national security, and cyber investigations. A medical transport aircraft has crashed in a Philadelphia neighborhood. This man saw the whole thing.
It came out of the clouds going in a straight nosedive, and the second it came through the clouds was probably only another second before it hit the ground.
The six people aboard are believed killed, including a pediatric patient and her mother. The crash comes just a few days after an American Airlines jet and a Black Hawk helicopter collided in midair just short of the runway at Reagan National Airport. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
It came out of the clouds going in a straight nose.
Crews have recovered at least 41 bodies from the wreckage of the American Airlines regional jet and Army Black Hawk helicopter sitting in the Potomac. They're waiting for additional equipment to pull pieces of fuselage from the river in the hopes of reaching the unaccounted for.
Law enforcement officials say the bodies of the pilots were recovered from the wreckage of the Black Hawk yesterday. Three more Israeli hostages have been released in Gaza, including an American citizen. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
65-year-old Keith Siegel is the first American to be released during the six-week ceasefire after 484 days of captivity in Gaza. His family in Israel cheered and cried as armed Hamas militants handed him over to the Red Cross. Six Americans are still held in Gaza, but only two are believed to be alive.
Israel released 183 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for those Israeli hostages. The BBC's Sebastian Usher describes the response.
For the Palestinians, that image of an older man with crutches being held up on the shoulders of people as he came out of the bus will be one which sums up their sense they've achieved some kind of victory with this latest release of prisoners.
This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with.